Philippians chapter 3, if you have your Bibles. Philippians chapter 3. Can you agree there ain't nobody like Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. I thank God that I know Him this morning, and thank God for what this day means to us. And we don't know the exact day, I know that, but or what the date might have been back then. We followed what the Jews would be celebrating for what they do, but for their Passover and everything. But I thank God that we know that on the morning that He rose.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God that it brought hope back to mankind that we hadn't had hope for years and years, and now once again we have hope. Philippians chapter 3, if you'd like to stand with me to reverence the Word of God. Just going to read two verses here, and then we'll be jumping back to John chapter 20. But it says that I, verse 10, starting at verse 10, says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. There's power in resurrection, amen? And the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Just want to stop right there. If you wouldn't mind bowing your heads this morning. Dear Lord God, my precious Heavenly Father, I love You, Lord. And Lord, I'm thankful, God, that that You did it all, Lord. You went all the way on the cross, Lord. We thank You, God, for the blood that You shed, God, for the remission of sins. Lord, I'm thankful, God, that because of You, I can make heaven my home today, Lord. I'm thankful, God, that because of what You did on the cross, and Lord, the night May 23rd of 2000, when I knelt down and I accepted You into my heart, Lord. Lord, it's all made possible because You died, You was buried, and You rose again on the third day, Lord. And Lord, we're thankful, God, for the power of Your resurrection, Lord. And Lord, if there's anything we want to do this morning, is that we could just know You, God, and the power of Your resurrection, and attain to the resurrection of the dead, Lord. So Lord, we pray, God, You touch, Lord. We pray for Your anointing. Lord, I can't do it without You, God. I can't do nothing, God. I can't even walk without You holding my hand. So Lord, this morning, I pray, God, You help, Lord, because I know I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, Lord. So Lord, we trust You this morning. We love You, God. And Lord, we just ask that You show up in a mighty way. Help me to step aside. Let You take over, Lord. And Lord, if there's anyone here who don't know You this morning, Lord, it'd be a great day for them to get saved, Lord. Lord, we love You, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that each one here that we could grow. If there's anyone hurting, struggling, Lord, that they get the help they need, Lord. We love You. We thank You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. The power of His resurrection. Amen. Don't you know that there's power in Jesus? Amen. There's power in the blood. There's nothing like the power of God. Paul writes, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, also the Greek. Jesus says in John 10, he says, I have power to lay my life down and power to pick it up again. Don't you know the man didn't kill God? Amen. Don't you know Jesus didn't die because man killed Him? He chose to die. He had power to lay His life down. As a matter of fact, you see close to His last words, He says, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Why is that? Because Jesus would have never died. Amen. He had power, though, to give. He told him, he said, well, we look, we see the power of God when they come to get Him in the garden, and they say, are You Jesus? And He says, I am He. And they fall down because there's power. Amen. Listen, the power of God. We see the power of God through the Old Testament. It was the power of God that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, that through the plagues and everything that the Egyptians received. It was the power of God that separated the waters as they walked through. It was the power of God that we see through the wilderness that brought manna from heaven, that brought water from the rock, that brought victory over the enemies, that brought the walls down with Joshua, that slayed the giants. It was the power of God that made man fireproof, that made man lionproof. It was the power of God that brought him through. But Paul wasn't worried about that. He said, he didn't say that I may know him in the power of being fireproof. He didn't say that I may know him in the power to cross the seas and the rivers. He says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. Because there ain't nothing like the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It changed humanity for all mankind. Amen. Listen, that's what brings hope to mankind. If in this life only we had hope, we'd be of all men most miserable. But now is Christ Jesus risen from the dead. Amen. Listen, I remember a story that I don't know that well. I remember a preacher, might have been my dad, talked about it. He said there was a man who went over to Israel. And they took him to a place that could have been the tomb that Jesus laid in. But he said as he went in, he said, I didn't really feel what I thought I would feel. He said, I was expecting to feel this great, this great feeling. He said, I walked in and I didn't feel it. He said, I looked around. I looked at where he would have been laid. He said, I really didn't feel much. He said, I even sang a song to myself. Still didn't feel anything. But he said, when I turned to look out, he said, then the power hit. Amen. Why? Because Jesus is not in the grave this morning. He's not, hey, listen, I'm thankful. You know what makes the cross powerful? Because Jesus is not on the cross. Amen. Jesus is not in the grave this morning, but he's alive this morning. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. I'll read real quick John chapter 20. We're just going to start at verse 1. He says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Hey, are you the disciple Jesus loves this morning? I thank God that I'm the disciple Jesus loves. And saith unto him, to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went to the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Amen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Amen. I believe this morning. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Thank God. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Amen. Listen, I'm thankful this morning. The day he called my name, I knew who he was when he called me. I didn't have to guess. I didn't have to wonder if it was Muhammad calling me. I didn't have to wonder if it was Buddha. But I knew it was Jesus Christ himself calling me by name. He didn't just say you. He didn't just give me a number. But no, he says he knows me by name this morning. If I could just know him this morning and the power of his resurrection. You realize Paul gave up everything to know Christ. He gave up his popularity he had with the Pharisees. He gave up his power he had because he was a Pharisee. He had everything going his way. When he met Jesus and he saw Jesus, he gave up all of that. He said, I want Christ. Amen. Listen, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen. Listen, the power of God. Isaiah chapter 40 says this right here, and we'll move on. It says, to whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, and for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, that he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall grow weary, and the young men shall all utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen, I just want to know the power of his resurrection this morning. Amen. The power of his resurrection. What is it? First of all, it's the power to redeem. Amen. Job says this right here. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Amen. This morning, I'm thankful that I know my Redeemer liveth. Amen. Listen, he walks with me. He talks with me. Hey, listen, it's my Redeemer that I feel this morning. It's my Redeemer that gets me up. It's my Redeemer that gets me going. Amen. Listen, this morning, I don't know what's going on in this world. There's chaos. There's trouble. We're troubled on every side. But thank God my Redeemer's alive this morning. Amen. And you know what? He's not going to die again. Amen. He's my Redeemer this morning. Isaiah 59, 20, 21 says, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor shall the mouth of thy seed, nor of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth forever. Amen. Ain't you thankful we're redeemed this morning? Hey, you know what it says? That when we get to heaven, when everything's all done, it says the angels have to step aside. There's going to be a song being sung by the redeemed. Amen. Listen, this morning, I thank God I'm going to be one of them singing. I thank God that Jesus Christ has redeemed me. Hey, listen, I've been redeemed. As Peter says, he says, we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. He redeemed us this morning. Don't you know that Jesus on the cross, when he said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit, he didn't go up there empty-handed. Amen. He was my lamb hanging on the cross. But when he went to heaven, he became my high priest. Amen. Listen, he says, such a high priest became us. Well, let's look at it real quick. Hebrews 7:26, for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Amen. Listen, Jesus. Let's look real quick. Every year, the high priest had to take the blood of the lamb and had to go. First of all, he had to cleanse himself because he wasn't perfect. And thank God my high priest is perfect. Every year, he had to go kill a lamb. Put the blood all through the tabernacle and through the temple. And every year they had to do this. Why? Because that blood ran out of power. That blood went, its life ended. Amen. It expired. But listen, I thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that no longer do we have to trust in a priest anymore. No longer do we have to go to the temple anymore. But no, he took his own blood to the throne of God and he applied it there forever to stay. Amen. Says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the sprinkling of the ashes of heifer sanctified to the purifying of the soul, how much more the blood of Christ? Amen. Listen, the blood of Jesus Christ is never going to lose its power. Amen. He has power to redeem us this morning. Ain't you thankful? The state that I was in when I was doomed for a devil's hell. Don't you realize that? I was doomed to go to hell, but Jesus Christ stepped on the scene and he bought my salvation back when I couldn't afford it. I couldn't pay him out. Listen, I could gather all the money in the world, the riches, the gold, and that wouldn't even scratch the surface of what this thing values at. Amen. Don't you realize we got something valuable this morning? the power of His resurrection. He has power to revive. Amen. Listen, Ezekiel chapter 37, God shows him a vision of dry bones, and it says they were very dry. And it was an army that was in the valley. They were defeated. They were hopeless. But God says, Son of man, can these bones live again? And He says, Thou knowest, Lord. So God tells him, He says, prophesy to the bones. And He says, as I prophesied, the bones come together, and there was a great shaking. Amen. Listen, I thank God for the preaching of the cross that gives a shaking to the world. Listen, if there's anything this world needs, it needs the preaching of the cross. Amen. It says there was a great shaking. He says the skin came on him, but there was no life. So he said, prophesy to the four winds. Amen. And he prophesied. And as the winds come, they stood an exceeding great army. Listen, that was us this morning. That was the church that was in that valley. It was the church that was dead. Why? Because man had sinned. Man had separated from God. We were filthy. We were nothing. We were defeated. But thank God when the wind blew. Amen. Listen. Hey, when did it blow? Well, let's look at Acts chapter 2. It says, I know we're jumping a few weeks ahead here, but he says, they were all in one mind, one accord, in one place. And it says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. Let me tell you something. I thank God when the wind blew in my life, and I've been revived this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, he says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, who walked after the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in disobedience. Goes on to say, but God, who is rich in mercy, with His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Amen. Listen, I feel revived this morning. Why? Because Jesus. Because I just want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Amen. Listen, He revived us. He brought us back to life. Amen. You would think, when I look at this story from, I know the end, but you imagine the disciples. You know, they saw Jesus. They saw Him heal the sick. He even raised the dead. They saw Jesus who spoke with authority and had wisdom. They saw Jesus who, I mean, He could do anything. I mean, He was their hero. He's my hero this morning. But they watched Him and they thought, oh, surely they're coming to get Him, but He's not going to let them. But here He stood as a lamb before the slaughter. He openeth not His mouth. As He stood before the high priest, they're saying, Jesus, what are you doing? Why are you not taking up for yourself? And He took the beating and then He took the scourging, the Roman scourging that would have brought Him to death. Near death. And they watched Him and they didn't understand. Lord, even the ones when He was hanging on the cross said, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. But don't you think it made a little bit more sense when they saw Him again? Yeah, amen. You know, He said on the cross, He said, it is finished. Which we know that's the words to tetelestai. If you look in the Hebrew word, I'm not going to go into everything it means. I just learned this past couple weeks that it means a lot more than I realized. But what I did know was that on a prison cell, when someone paid the bond and set them free, they would hang up a sign saying paid in full, or they used the word tetelestai. Amen. Listen, Jesus, when everything had been completed, He said tetelestai, saying, hey, I'm releasing them from prison. Amen. Listen, I don't know exactly how He went, but I imagine He went down to the ones who died in Christ and He hung a sign saying, tetelestai, come on boys, we're going to heaven. Amen. Listen, I thank God on May 23rd, 2000, there was a sign hung on my prison door that was holding me down. Listen, hey, oh grave, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God that give us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Power to revive. He also, the resurrection gives power to restore. Amen. Psalm 23, David writes, He restoreth my soul. Amen. This morning, you know what it means to be restored? Amen. Listen, you go down, you find a car that's no longer able to be running. You find a car that's junk that the whole world would say, that thing's worthless. There's no value to it. But you get the eyes of a mechanic who says, I can fix that thing up and I can make it run better than it's ever ran before. Listen, he'll take that thing home. He'll take out the parts that don't need to be there. He'll put brand new parts in. Hey, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And at the very end, when the mechanic turns the key, that thing runs better than it's ever ran before. It's now got value that it never had before. Listen, he restored me one day. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying, my righteousness is filthy rags. I'm worthless. I'm dirty. But listen, I thank God that Jesus come in and he washed me whiter than snow and he put a robe of his righteousness. When you look at Tyler, you don't see the righteousness of Tyler because righteousness of Tyler is nothing. But I hope when you look at Tyler, you see Jesus. And you see the righteousness that Jesus has. He says, I'll wash you. I'll clean you. I'll make you better. I'll restore you. I'll make you valuable. Amen. You realize you're worth Calvary to Jesus? That makes us valuable. Jesus finds us valuable. It don't matter what this world says about us. It don't matter what your friends say or what your enemies say when they if they're trying to talk you down, saying you're worthless. Let me tell you something. Jesus says otherwise. He's the one that matters this morning. He restores us. Amen. He restored our relationship. Amen. He reconciled us on the cross. You realize Jesus on the cross. We know what happened. We know why Jesus had to go to the cross, right? We know all the way back in the garden when there was just two humans and there was just one sin, man couldn't hold strong to that. Amen. And separation between man and God. Man was without hope. Amen. Amen. And here, Jesus hanging on the cross, he said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And on the cross, he took the hand of God and he took the hand of man that had been separated for so long and he took them and he joined them back together. Just as it was in the garden when God walked with Adam in the cool of the day, now we have access to join with the hand of God and walk with him. Hey, listen, I'm thankful this morning I can go on a walk with Jesus Christ. Amen. He has power to restore relationships. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm just going to read it real quick here. Now talking about us who were Gentiles, by the way. Unless there anyone here has Jewish lineage, I don't. I'm a Gentile. I was an outsider until Jesus came. He says that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. And then over in verse 16 he says, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Thank God. Now it don't matter if you're a Jew, if you're a Gentile, if you're a man or a woman. Everyone comes through the blood and has access to the throne. Amen. Listen, he reconciled us. The relationship that had been broken because of sin, because man's choice. Listen, that relationship is now back together. Why? By the blood of Jesus. Amen. He restored our relationship. He also restored our hope. Amen. Listen, he says in 1 Corinthians 15, says, if in this life only we had hope, we'd be of all men most miserable. But now is Christ Jesus risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them. Amen. Listen, it's because of him my hope has been restored. Amen. Listen, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. I have hope this morning. It's that hope that I have is going to hold me on to heaven. Listen, this hope I have is different than any other kind of hope. It's not a, you know, I have a lot of doubtful hopes. You know, I have a hope that West Virginia is going to win, but that's a pretty doubtful hope. And I'm usually right with that doubt. Amen. I have a hope that I'll go home without hitting a deer, but I can't tell you for sure, but let me tell you about the hope that's built on Jesus Christ. I am 100% sure you can't change my mind that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. Isn't it? You can't change my mind that heaven's going to be my home one day. Why? Because my Savior bled for me. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. He also restored the joy of my salvation. David, when he was in one of his darkest hours, he had sinned. We know what he sinned with Bathsheba. He writes this psalm and he says, first of all, he says, I acknowledge my transgression, my sins laid out before me. But he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You realize that Christians have something that nobody else has? They can go through a trial and they can still have joy. They can go through heartache and they can still have peace. Why? Because we can know Him and the power of His resurrection. Amen. That brings joy to me this morning. Sure, we go through hard times. Sure, there's times that I can say I'm not very happy. But I can tell you one thing. You can't take the joy that's in my heart. You can't take the feeling that I have. And the world watches us and says, why do they keep that peace about them? Don't they know what they're going through? Oh, yes, but I know where I'm going to. Amen. Listen. Thank God that I have a home prepared for me. Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place. And when I come again, I will receive you to myself and restore you. I just want to know Him and the power of His resurrection this morning. It restored hope. Don't you think when the disciples, when Jesus finally come, there's one of the other ones said that, I believe it says that they didn't believe till Jesus showed up on the scene. We know Thomas, and you know, we kind of discredit Thomas a lot. He was one of the 12. He was one of the ones that eventually died for Christ. So he didn't doubt for too long. Amen. He figured it out, but he said, if I'm not going to believe till I can touch his hands and touch his feet. Amen. And Jesus showed up. He said, blessed are they who, he said, because you've seen, you believe, but blessed are they who have not seen and yet still believe. If I could just know Him and the power of His resurrection, that's all that matters in this life. It don't matter the job you have. It don't matter the friend you have, how far you go in this world. None of that matters. If you can just know Him and the power of His resurrection. As we get a song this morning, I thank God that He's alive this morning. I was listening to the radio on the way here, and a song, He's Alive, come on. I told Mikelli, I said, that might be the best song ever wrote. And it's from Peter's perspective. And he goes and he sees the tomb. And then he comes back and he said, I just don't know. But then it says that, talks about Jesus shows up there in the room. And he says, you know, Peter was still troubled because he doubted. And he was ashamed of Jesus Christ. But you know what? Jesus looked at him and he loved him. And all of a sudden, all that dread, all that guilt was gone. Why? Because he went to Jesus. This morning we can do the same thing as we sing.